The reading today is Ruth 1, verses 1 through 7. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab. He and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was and the name of wife was Naomi. And the name of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went to the country of Moab and remained there. But name of Naomi died, and she was left with his two sons. These were Moabite wives. The name of the one of Abra, and the name of other Ruth. When they have lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So that woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab. For she heard in the country of Moab that the Lord has considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, and she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to their two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept out loud. They said to her, "No, we return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even though I thought there was hope for me, even though I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus unto to me, and more as well, even if death parts me from you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. This gospel is from Mark chapter 3. And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die and be buried. This beautiful vow of devotion from the book of Ruth is one of the most popular scriptures to be read at a wedding. It's not originally intended for weddings. It has really nothing to do with a couple preparing to take vows to live their lives faithfully together. Rather, this is a promise made from a daughter-in-law to her mother-in-law. The Bible is full of stories from the male perspective because each of these societies described within the Bible are patriarchal in nature. Throughout the Bible, we hear little, if anything, about the women. Sometimes women are mentioned by name. Other times, women are just mentioned as a woman without a name, nondescript. Sometimes women are implied, and sometimes they have supporting roles. But the book of Ruth is different. This is a feminist tale, if ever there was one, in all of Scripture. It's a story of survival as told through the lens of the women, of a mother-in-law and her daughters-in-law. This could be described not as Ruth's story, as it is named, but as Naomi's story. As you may recall, Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, traveled from Bethlehem, which literally means the house of bread, because ironically, there was no bread. There was a severe famine. Forced to move in search of a better life, they set out, settling in Moab. Their sons Mahlon and Chilion take wives, not Judeans, but Moabites. And their choice of wives is a bold one. Back in that day, there was a strong argument against interreligious marriage. The fear was that by bringing other religions into the mix in a family, that people would turn away from the God of Abraham and Sarah and instead turn to false gods. And if you take away that God, that identity also falls away in all of those great promises that God has made. In the book of Jeremiah and throughout all of Scripture, you hear that covenant repeated, the covenant that God has made with God's people. It says, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. While living away from Judah, the covenant stayed with this family, for it was written upon their hearts. And while they were there in a foreign land, Elimelech died. Now, according to Deuteronomic law, Naomi was not a widow when her husband died because she had two sons who could care for her. But then, when both of her sons died, at that point, Naomi was considered a widow. And a widow was the most vulnerable person in that society. And this is where we encounter Naomi in her deep, deep grief. Naomi said, "No longer call me Naomi, but call me Mara, which means bitter, for God has dealt harshly with me." Now we know that God did not cause the death of her husband and her sons, but Naomi sees it that way, at least at the beginning. And that's when they start their journey back, and she gives her daughters-in-law the out. She releases them from their covenant, and Naomi sends Orpah packing, sending her back to her family and her God. Naomi sends Ruth away as well, but Ruth is stubborn. Ruth could have returned to her family, but instead she chose to cling to Ruth, and she clung to the God of Abraham and Sarah, the God of Isaac and Rebekah. By clinging to Naomi, Ruth embodies the chesed of God. Chesed is the Hebrew word that means both loyalty and loving kindness. So even while Naomi still feels that God has dealt her a bitter hand, Ruth reminds her of God's faithfulness. At this point in the story, I am simply amazed by Ruth. Why would Ruth do this? She was given permission to go back to her own family, and yet she decides to stay with her mother-in-law. Why Ruth? Why not Orpah? Well, I have a theory, because sometimes it is those in a society who have been an outsider, who have experienced rejection, who have been cast aside, who most readily identify with people's pain. If we look closely enough into the face of these outsiders, right here in our communities, we will surely see the face of God, because many of them, immigrants, refugees, undocumented citizens, have experienced separation from their families in hope of a better life, just like Naomi and Ruth. Naomi can't see the possibilities in front of her, so it must be Ruth who sees what God has in mind for their future. And as the prophet Jeremiah writes, For surely I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. God has plans for Naomi, but she just can't see it. She cannot believe it because she cannot see it through her grief. For Naomi, there is a sense of her life before and after. Before the death of her husband and after. Before the death of her sons and after. But now the after seems so barren and dry. The tears well up and sting her eyes, but they do not fall upon her cheeks. And she wonders, what's the point? There's nothing left for me here. I'm no longer a wife. I'm no longer a mother. So what's next? How do I start over again? She wonders. Looking back on your life, you may see this too, a sense of defining your life in terms of before and after. In my family, it was before the fire and after the fire. When I was 2 years old, we had a fire and our entire house was consumed. My mom and dad and I narrowly escaped, and the only thing we have as proof are some photos that are singed around the edges. So that was our marker. It was before the fire or after the fire. Maybe in your family, too, there are markers of time like that. Buoys that serve as a marker of significant events. Buoys that float upon the waters of your life, marking the high tides and the low tides, the stormy seas and the calm waters in between storms. And for many people in America, one such moment was September 11, 2001, when the Twin Towers fell, the Pentagon was attacked, and United Airlines Flight 93 went down. The country had a sense of before and after. The country's DNA changed on 9/11, and we can still feel it in our collective memory. Now, in Naomi's life, it was a time before and a time after her husband and sons died. And it was then, the time after, that I imagine she started asking these ancient and essential questions. Who am I without a husband, without children? Who am I when living in a foreign land? Who are my people, and where do I belong? Who will take care of me now? Does God have a place for me? How do I begin again? We too ask some of these before and after questions throughout our lives. For children, it might be wondering about moving from one school to the next, or when a friend moves away, or at the death of a grandparent. For youth, it might be dreaming about your future and wondering if God really will be with you as you move on in your future. For us adults, it might be something like choosing a significant other, deciding whether or not to have children, or imagining what life will be like after the children have grown. And a retirement, wondering how much longer you can stay in your home, and wondering whether your savings will be enough to cover your needs. Again, this is a sense of before and after, the passage of time. Many of these questions are wrought with anxiety, a sense of not knowing and worrying about what will come next. Naomi is in that same place along with us. And there's just one thing that brings Naomi back to God. It is Ruth. It is Ruth who reminds her of the covenant. It is Ruth who walks with her in the valley of the shadow of her bitterness. The shadow that casts another layer of grief upon her life. And it is Ruth, the Moabite, who clings to Naomi and commits herself to God. Through Ruth, Naomi begins to dream again. She begins to hope again and trust in the promises of God. Through Ruth, Naomi can once again dream of having a family. Now, in this congregation, we have a number of people dealing with challenges, as any family does. memory loss, cancer, the ups and downs of aging, career changes, financial struggles, among other things. We, like all families, have these challenges. In your life, too, there may be a sense of before and after, perhaps a deep grief that resounds in your soul, separating this time from a time that may have been more plentiful and good. Or maybe things are going well for you, but you sense that perhaps there will be a time in your life when things just might start to unravel. Here again, it's a sense of before and after. And in those times, we ask, where is God in this? In those times when our brothers and sisters walk in sadness or bitterness or fear, we have been called to walk with them in this new reality. Ruth found it in her heart to dream a new dream, to pronounce her allegiance to her mother-in-law, to find a way forward after death of her husband, after the loss of a dream, after she thought she no longer belonged. Later in the book of Ruth, when they traveled back to Bethlehem, it seems that Naomi still feels the weight of her bitterness upon her, the weight of grief. And it is the women of Bethlehem who glean from this situation the chesed, the loving kindness, the faithfulness that God has given to Naomi through Ruth. That is how God works today. God works through family members and friends, immigrants and strangers. Things still change. Bad things happen, but that's not where it ends. God is faithful and loving even when we wonder if God has checked out. God works through each of us to bring together a strange and wonderful kind of family. God accompanies us and says, I'm not done with you yet. God certainly wasn't done with Ruth, who married Boaz and later became the great-grandmother of King David, who from this lineage was born a babe named Jesus, Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. That's why we are family together, here to remind one another that the promises of God do not end. God does not grow bitter or weary. God has not abandoned us. In time of grief and conflict, we may be accompanied by the most unlikely of messengers who proclaim that we are not alone, and it is there that God's faithfulness is expressed in the flesh. Who is family? Jesus reminds us in this gospel reading that obedience is thicker than blood. The person who obeys God, God's will, is our brother and our sister, our mother and our father. We are family. We are in this together, and God is not done with any of us yet. Amen.